Michele Ilibagiza.
Yes.
Welcome to Power and Witness.
Thank you.
We've had you on before, but we got interrupted. I think there were some technical problems before. But I wanted to talk to you again about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I hear confessions a lot here. We hear 6 days a week. And sometimes I'm having to try to define forgiveness. And I struggle sometimes saying, how do you define forgiveness?
Forgiveness, of course I can define forgiveness, but it is mostly the feeling of the forgiveness that really mm-hmm. almost tells you, oh, that's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to just put in words, but this is how it felt for me, because I went through a terrible situation, as you know, during the genocide, mm-hmm. when I felt like I hated more than a million people who were killing us in mm-hmm. the name of our tribe and through their own tribe too. So I hated the people who hated me, who were trying to kill me, those who were killing my parents, who were killing everybody who really was my tribe. Mm-hmm. And I hated them. It became a sickness. I hated their families. I hated anybody who was their tribe. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't make a difference because of the anger. And I still remember, I couldn't even remember how to smile. The more anger I had, the more justified in my anger, because anytime I felt like, why am I'm angry, but God doesn't like this, or but I have a good reason. Mm-hmm. So they're wrong. Everybody would agree with me. Mm-hmm. And the more I was so felt justified in my anger, the more miserable I was.
Right.
So
let me ask you real quick, mm-hmm. who did you lose from your immediate family?
I lost my mom, my dad, mm-hmm. my two brothers. Yeah, we were three brothers and me.
Okay.
So one brother was outside of the Rwanda, and two of them were home for Easter holiday. Oh, one actually was a professor in a seminary.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Just was so happy, 3 days home.
Right.
My younger brother was finishing high school. Just a joyful time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, really just like a hurricane, right. Like run.
Right.
Like, what did we do?
Right.
And then my grandma, my grandpa, my like seven uncles. Yeah, it was nightmare. It was a nightmare. I really remember thinking like, I must be dreaming. It can't happen. Mm. You know, you lose one person, but not this many people.
Right.
And then where did it happen? Where else in the world? In our country, we were not even allowed to learn about the Jews, the Holocaust. Because if we learn it, we might know what is happening and how people dealt with it, mm. and how the world was not happy, of course, with what happened, judged those who did it. Mm. Yeah, so I experienced forgiveness more through the experience. I still remember a moment when I said, this must be what forgiveness is about.
Mm.
So, and from there, I tried to truly define it from my own experience, was to find peace, to realize that people who are doing evil is just wrong and is bad. And with that, they are risking a lot, especially from the perspective of a Christian. You risk to lose your own soul because of unforgiveness. I mean, because of the evil you are doing to hurt people. And then the one who is affected, not forgiving, you lose, also you risk to lose your own soul by unforgiveness. So the way it felt, it was when I was able to let go that anger, because when I was able to let go that anger, it just felt peaceful and felt more reasonable.
When you were able to do what?
To forgive.
Oh, okay.
When I was able to let go that anger.
Oh, let go.
Okay. Yeah, to let go the anger. But also like forgiveness, it felt almost like, it was more like I fell in love with Jesus more. Mm. And when I felt in love with him more, he was too big to keep him in my heart with the anger I had. It's like I have one heart. I can't host the anger, the hatred, and host in the same heart the love of Jesus.
Right.
So before it was like, he knows I'm angry. Okay, stand there, Jesus. You know what I'm going through. Like my heart is filled with this anger. He was almost looking from outside. And then I started to pray, and that really made the forgiveness happen to my heart. And again, I can only justify it as forgiveness, but it was more like, what happened to me? That you're trying to find what this meant.
Mm.
I was angry. I thought, what do? You revenge for, your family. actually, because my brothers were being killed, I thought, okay, since the brothers are the ones who are supposed to defend the family, now I'm the girl, I have to defend the family. Mm. How am I going to do that? So I have to think of how I'm going to revenge my family. Mm. So, but because I had a moment when I really had an encounter with God, just to realize that God is real. And from that knowing God is really the experience I had during that bathroom, the next thing was, what do you do when you know that truly, truly God is real? Well, you start to pray, because the Bible says, pray unceasingly. Mm-hmm. If you know your maker is with you, you talk to him. He's your friend, he's your best friend. He's the one you do everything with, you need strength from, your breath comes from. So I started to pray. So as I'm praying, I start to feel like the little nodding of God or guardian angels, maybe something was like, well, you have to get to know me. How do you get to know me? Oh, I have to read the Bible. At least that's what I could do that time. But if after I had the encounter with God, which I can explain, if I had a priest, I had anyone who knew God better, I would have gone to them. But then I am in a bathroom, locked in, like in a prison. I was not even allowed to speak. So from there, I started to pray the rosary. To this day, I always feel, praise God that my father gave me a rosary when we were separating. That's the only thing I took going to hide. Wow. And this is not the same one, but wow, it was a rosary I took. So anyway, I took it to the hiding, nothing. I mean, a school lady from university, you have your purse, you little things you put in your purse, nothing. I took the rosary. That's what he gave me. So with that, knowing that God was real, I said, okay, I need to pray, to talk to him. I need to the Bible. So I asked the man who was hiding me to give me the Bible. And then I started to read. So the more I read, this is really what changed me. What brought me to forgive was to get to know a little bit more about God.
Right.
And take it seriously. Just like I need to take my God seriously and to get to know who he is. So I remember reading the story of Job. I said, what? So, because the beginning is, you have to believe in God. And I really realized that maybe I didn't believe God fully, that he was there. But when I had a moment to believe that he was there, that's when I said, okay, I'm going to move on as if you're 100%, because I just saw what you did. Mm-hmm. So let me go into you until you disappoint me, if there is any disappointment. Mm-hmm. Because this time I was actually even mad at my parents, because I thought, you were there all this time. My parents were really good parents, the best they can do. So they never ever told me it was possible for them to die. Mm. And even for them, that alone, I was mad at them. You never told me you were not all that.
Mm.
Because my mother was that kind of person who still come to check in your bed, you are well covered, and you are 20 in university. Mm. So a mother like that, you don't think they would ever go anywhere. You know, dad is like, okay, good, I have to get money to school. What do you need? Make a list. You're like, oh, okay, this is what fathers do. Did anyone ever start with me and say, oh, by the way, we are just a gift in your life. If God wants, he can actually just wipe us out.
Right.
What? Nobody even considered this possible. So it made me realize that, okay, there is this one person who is just never changed my life. You know, friends can come and go. They can even move away. They can even misunderstand you. You can lose them in so many ways, betray you. But God, even if I never saw him with my eyes, I feel like he was the only constant thing from my childhood that was like constantly still the same.
Right.
You know, so things, bad things are happening. But he never told me bad things do not happen.
Mm.
From what I know in the Bible, actually, he binds the wounds of the broken, the wounded, and you know, and heal the brokenhearted. So which means like brokenheartedness is not a thing that, oh, how dare, you know, what did you do? You were not supposed to do this, the God right. I knew. So with all that, I said, okay, God, I'm going to try to get to know you. So if you really don't take God seriously, it's hard to forgive. If you really don't go into any faith and really accept fully, and then from there pray. Because there's so many things we don't know, or we just know by intelligence, or we haven't felt the effect of what that is. Mm. You can know about love, you can define it, but until you have somebody you love, you know, until you have a child, you don't know what that feeling is about, you know? So prayer brought so many things alive even if I knew them.
Right.
So the best thing to me, and to this day, I really encourage people, pray, sit with God, ask him questions. What do you even mean by this forgiveness? So I started to say, to read the story of Job in a book, in the Bible. And I'm saying, what? Job? Okay, wait. You love God with everything that is happening? Oh, so this have happened before. Where somebody actually can lose some everything. And this is what good people do. And then I kept going, wait, so everybody really dies in the end. So yes, they are dying in different ways, but they do. And then also about Job, I realized that God still loves him. So it doesn't mean that when bad things happen, that it, or that was like, it wasn't just like, okay, forgive because this is good. Wants to make sense.
Right.
It was an experience of getting to know God. Who is he? What did he do? How did he deal with people? Even look at his only son. I mean, who is God too, our Lord. Look what he went through.
And let me ask you this, so you, because you were raised in a devout home, and you went to Catholic school.
Yes, yes.
And the genocide happened, you were 20?
I was 23, actually.
23.
Yeah.
And you were locked in the bathroom for how, or you were in the bathroom for how long?
For 3 months.
3 months,
yeah.
Okay.
I went in April, I came out in July.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, and this can be so true for all of us, is that we're raised in the church, we're in Mass, but we still haven't made it our own. Maybe we don't have a strong enough prayer life.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't asked these questions to God. So that, I think that happens to a lot of us, doesn't it?
Completely. If you know, anytime after the genocide, I was so excited about my faith. And I would tell people like, oh, you won't believe God is real. Mm-hmm. Like, people can see that I was just super excited. And I remember more than one person said, but that was always you. Your parents always prayed.
Right.
You know, your family was always an example of faith.
Right.
So what is new now?
Right.
I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it really became more like, not just like the routine.
Right.
But the life that you know, that he knows you by name. He's not just a friend of the family, of your group of people. Mm. He's not just know you, but you know each other person like, hey, push that, do this, keep quiet.
Right.
Can God really care about me alone? And you know it again by hand, by faith. However, what I have loved with my parents, what they did, even if I really came to have an encounter with God during that time, I went back to that. I can only go to the rosary because I learned it from my family. I can go back to the Bible because I saw my parents read the Bible. Even if I've never made God my own, but it was all stored somewhere. In the heart.
Right, right.
And then, as they say, pain is the best teacher. When then you go through pain personally, it's not your mom going through it, even if they do, but you're encountering your own.
Right.
And
right.
That's when you meet God.
Right.
Who will really speak to you personally.
And how long after, like, you were out of the bathroom there, that you had this, you were able to let go of the anger?
Oh, I was sitting in the bathroom.
Oh, that happened in the bathroom.
Yes, it really happened, which is, praise God for that. Oh. Because the plans I had were ugly, you know. And which, when I think about it today, I'm like, really? Did I even have done it?
Yeah.
I really thought like to be a good, actually good Christian and good daughter of my father, to see the injustice that were done to us, I thought I was going to enter military right away. After the genocide, if it ever happened, really, if it ever even ended, because that time I was just talking from anger.
Right.
So I'm going to be a soldier as soon as, if I only I can just get out. And it was easy to just enter, you know, military that time. And then I'm going to work my body and take a hold of a gun and kill everybody. And I think some people maybe did it. I tried thinking, if I just go to my village and took a gun and just shoot everyone, I have killed everybody. And maybe they cut you after you kill five people.
Right.
And you're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was a plan.
Right.
But during that time in that bathroom, so this is where the encounter for God really started. I feel I have had many. You know, I guess we all have many reconversion, you know, in life with God. So when we were in the bathroom, I went there, as my parents told me, my father gave me a rosary. I went to this man who was a neighbor. So he put in a tiny bathroom, 3x4 feet. With other 7 women, brought us.
So 8.
8 of us.
And a 3x4 bathroom.
3x4.
Wow.
I always say thank you, we're skinny. So we were able to fit in. The youngest was 7 years old. Yeah. So she was always on our lap. She was never able to find a place.
Right.
Others were teenagers, 12, 15, you know, really just tiny. I was 150 pounds, I remember. And the one woman who was older. Yeah. So we sat there. And at the end of the first week, we're still there. The man said he won't even tell his children that we're there. He said, I will tell them that I sent you away. So he moved us at night. So we sat there.
And he was a Protestant.
Yeah, he was a Protestant pastor. His wife had died. Yeah, but he had 10 children, actually.
Yeah.
Many of them were married away, but they came all back home. So we had to be absolutely quiet. So no one would hear us at all.
So he was the opposite tribe?
The opposite tribe, yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow. Yeah. There were many good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, so many lessons I learned through that time.
Yeah.
When the world is telling you those people, they're a group of people.
Yeah.
There's no one different.
Yeah.
They think the same, you know. Yeah. They wake up the same time, go to sleep the same.
Yeah.
So, and that's how you don't even take time to think about it. It's like we're lazy to think through things sometimes until we get through pain. You know, so he was a good man, and many people among them were good. And I remember I was in college, I was dating a man from the other tribe.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay. So we really never thought, like, I mean, they didn't even think like the government can ever reach to that. So this was all or made by the government, really. So he put us there. So at the end of the first week, I had so many bad, horrible thoughts, and to a level that I thought was not even possible also. You know, sometimes you feel anger, but anger have levels. It can be really bad. It can burn you in life. You feel it. And you just don't remember how to smile. And then fear comes and burn you at this time. You know, and I never felt fear like that. It will go. And then impatience, I can't take it anymore. I need to lay it down. Like, how can I sit like this? I've never done anything wrong. So all this, I mean, wrong to end up like that, you know, to be in a prison and not even in a cell. I remember thinking, even those in prison, in a cell, they have it alone. But as we have half or a quarter of the cell for a sin we haven't committed.
Right.
I'm like, call me any name you want. Don't call me that tribe, if that saves me. But that gave me so much anger. How is it they can't see it? How bad they can be? You know, so we sat there. And at the end of the week, I asked him to put the radio outside. And we found out that they have given order to even search houses. So during that second week, they came to search the house. 300 to 400 people came in the middle of the circle around the house, screaming. And I thought my life was over. It was really that time I remember asking God, if you are there, with everything I knew, now I'm questioning God. Apparitions of Our Lady were happening. My parents always prayed together, went to Mass every Sunday. We never went to sleep without praying together as a family. All our 15 Catholic prayers on our knees, without fail, without one night.
Right.
If my dad was not there, he would always appoint my brother to be the one to start the prayers. And he would tell him, and you make sure everyone is on the knees. Honoring God properly, not standing, not sitting.
Right.
So we used to laugh. It was, if my dad was not there, we were like giggling during the prayer. But still we did it every time. So this is the life I knew. And all of a sudden I'm questioning God. I said, are you there? Maybe I realized that somewhere in my mind, God was only there when things were good. Because I felt my family just were living a normal, simple life. You know, a little hard sometimes to find school fees. You know, my mom was sick and she would get well. So we had really just a peaceful life, you know, simple. Mom and dad just caring for their family, not having everything, but I never thought I needed more. You know, we didn't want a pair of shoes, that's all.
Right.
You have 3-4 clothes, that's all.
Right.
You think that's enough, you don't need more. And so one time now, when they came to search, it was the first time I said, God, are you there? Have you rejected us? You don't remember us? Like, do you even exist? Like, do you remember? It was just like, how can this be this bad? Where are you? Are you in heaven? But the God I heard in my church is also in the heart of people. So you must be here. In my heart, in one side, he's an old man who just lives behind the sky. But he can't be. This is, the Bible says this and that. So I was so confused. So in that moment, really, of ending it, I remember feeling like there was like a voice, two voices on my shoulders, and one voice, which was a matter of seconds, like they find us. And one voice was telling me, open the door. It's too bad. You can't go through this again. Let them kill you quickly. And that felt like me reasonable, being right, reasonable. Right. Like, why wait? Why give them a chance to search and then after 20 minutes, catch me and put a knife? And then another voice in me was telling me, don't open the door. Ask God to help you. Remember who God is. He's almighty. Remember what he can do. He parted the water for Israelites. Right. So he's capable. Why can he do that for me? Am I even among the people he can? So it was all confusion. But the main question was, is he there? Does he see that they're killing innocent people? So in a split of a second, I remember something in me ask him if he's there, if that is a question you have. And if he shows you he's there, promise him to never doubt him again. Because sometimes you don't have the time to debate all this. No. You need just to take a part. I really understood what our Lord said, they're lukewarm, I spit them out. It is a bad place to be. At the moment you're like, oh, are you sure? In the meantime, you really don't have a stand. Right. You know, either you're not doing good or you're not doing bad because you're not really sure. You stand somewhere just like not good. And how can somebody change you if you just somewhere in the middle? Anyway, I remember turning to God and I asked him, if you are there, just give me a sign. Don't let them open the door of the bathroom. I know everybody will die. And this was one of those ways people can die. However, I beg you, you said, ask it shall be given. I am asking you, don't let me die like this. And if you do, at least I will die knowing that you exist and there is something beyond this. Because right now, I'm not even sure. After I asked that, I said, God, don't let the killers open this door. So it was a house of 4 bedrooms. And they came, so fast forward, 5 hours later, the man who was hiding us came to the door because I was completely frozen.
Yeah.
Came to the door, opened the door, and then he told us what happened. He said there were 300 to 400 people.
Wow.
And he said they were all armed with machetes. I saw them through the window, I knew that. Machetes, guns, all kinds of things. And they came right to the door. After searching under the beds, in the closets, they even opened suitcases to make sure there were no babies hiding.
Wow.
They were in the ceiling of the house with flashlights. So after that, they came to the door of the bathroom. Before they opened, they told the man, oh, you know what? We trust you. You can't hide these bad people. The door was not closed. And they turned around and left 300 to 400 people.
Wow.
So that was a wow. I was like, oh my God, you are real? You hear me? Like, you are really the same God I heard in the church? Like, so actually you are. And I felt something was nudging me quickly again, like, get to know me. What do you do when you know God is there? It's not just like, I want a prize. He's seeking him. He's trying to get to him. He's even trying to understand, why did I almost lose my faith when I needed it most? This is the time. That was scary. So I asked the man to give me the Bible. I had the rosary and I started to pray. With all that praying, getting to know the word of God, that's when I realized God was saying, forgive. It felt like the whole Bible was written about forgiveness. Forgive those who hate you, man, who do bad to you. Do you know my enemies? You know how bad they are? How can you ask me? That's why it's so hard sometimes really explain to somebody you have to forgive. It's like, do you love God? Forgiveness, I can tell you what made me feel like, but I can tell you, you might not really even want to go there if you don't make your faith a priority, but to get to know him, to read about it. The stories of the people who have gone through these challenges, so you can see where the door was open for them.
Right.
Otherwise, I could not hear it from anybody. So every page I opened was like, forgive how many times? 70 times. Cross that page. I was so mad. No. And this is funny because now I believe in God fully. I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm sure he meant other people, not me. Like if he only knew my situation.
Right.
So I started to pray the rosary, and it was through our Lord's prayer. Again, anytime I would reach, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive, it was like a red flag, a red flag, a red flag. And until one time I said, okay, fine. If you really mean that you want me to forgive, I give it to you, help me out. because everything I was reading was read like His grace. It's not by our strength. Mm-hmm. So if He say ask me, which I thought maybe I'm playing games on Him, if He say ask, let me ask Him this. But also I knew He can look in my heart. I had to be sincere. I'm like, help me out, change my heart. I'm going to do what you say, I'm going to pray, but you know I can't lie to you. If I keep lying to you, it's not bad. So help me to forgive. Yeah. I give it to you. And I prayed, now not feeling bad about our Lord's prayer, forgive us, because at the time I felt I'm lying to Him. Mm. I'm not forgiving these people because they kept coming to my face. Mm. You know, the whole 8 million people. And one time I remember I was just meditating on the cross when our Lord was dying, really like, you know, He's helping now. I remember actually going through the fifth sorrowful mystery. I said, oh, our Lord dies on the cross. I kept going. And all of a sudden I said, Jesus is real. Let me think about Him like my father, somebody I love. Because He was a little bit remote even up to that moment. Right. You know, like, oh, we crown thorns. And you just keep going on like nothing touch you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm supposed to love Him above everybody. And I'm suffering for my father, but I'm not suffering for Jesus. Mm. Why is it? Like my feelings are not real for Him. I'm just so shallow.
Right.
But all that really came through prayer. That's why it's really important to encourage people, pray the whole rosary every day, as Our Lady used to tell us. Meditate on it.
All the mysteries?
Yes. Yes. And that was 15 mysteries. That was 15. Well, now, wait, I always told the vision of God, forgive me for that. I always say, well, you know, she needed to come and say it every day. But actually what I know is that she still means the 15 every day.
Okay.
But the other five, which of course the church tells us, I heard that, you know, Saint John Paul II said is optional every day.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
There's an option clause.
Yeah, it's optional. Every day is optional, but as a church tells us every Thursday to pray
right,
then.
Right.
So I always tell Our Lady, so I'm going to say the 15. It took me time to get to, I have to really, if I have to follow a message, I have to do this.
Mm.
So, and I really do every day. So that time I was doing it during the genocide 9 times a day because I needed, because she always told us more prayer, especially when we were being fought furiously, right. You know, like your right. Emotions that you had, you can't forgive, it's painful, the memory is hurting, the situation is hard, pray more. Because the more you pray, because that time the enemy is attacking you. It is the devil that doesn't want us to forgive. And he shows you all the pictures, how horrible it was, and it is, yes, bad, it is horrible, but what a victim you are. Oh, how pity, you know, you look right. at you, look what you're going through,
right.
And all of a sudden, like, yeah, you like me, you my friend, mm-hmm. And you don't realize it until you started to pray more. And every day you remember Jesus on the cross, like, he had nails in his body, and look at me, the anger I'm holding here. So it was like every reminder, and one day I said, let me just look at him. Like, he's my father, and he is.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to love him more than anyone, but I don't think I'm feeling for him. Then I said, wait, like my father? Okay, wait, what happened exactly? So the night before, oh no, he was bleeding, thinking what is coming. Wait, in the morning, oh, he was betrayed by his friend, one of the people they ate together, they traveled together. And then, you know, Pilate condemned him without reason. After he washed his hands, actually, he says, I have nothing I can accuse of him.
Right.
And yet he gave him up to beat him. I was so mad. I started to feel so bad for him. And then I feel like, oh, all the way he's falling down. I'm like, I'm watching. Somehow it was like a vision in my heart. I'm like, oh, this was bad. And his mom was there. And I kept going, and I'm watching what he's going through on the cross. Now we have nails. I remember pinching myself, like, and we feel what feels like. This hurts. My God had nails in his body. This is really bad. So I really started to feel bad and being mad at the people who did this to him. And then I said to hear his words, oh, he knows how to get the heart. And slowly now that I'm involved almost emotionally, I started to hear his words like, he forgave the thief? Wow. I wouldn't do that. Wow. He wouldn't even ask him like, okay, so I'm going to do this, but you should never do this again. He just forgave him. That was something, like, wow, you were really nice. Like, it was like studying his words. I'm like, and then he gave us a mother. I'm like, you're doing something good when you're on the cross. You're not talking about your pain. screaming, saying, look, what's wrong they did to me? Right. You are still concerned about us?
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, like making me feel ashamed a little bit of my own way of dealing with my pain.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm going to, it's accomplished, I'm going through this, like really emotionally now, like I'm taking him, like my father, my brother. And then what got me was when he said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. What do you mean? It felt, it was really a grace, and you know, graces are given. Sometimes you read a book and nothing touches you, and you read it again, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. I never saw this.
Yeah,
and it rings just differently.
Right.
It was those words I have said over and over, I've gone through over and over, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. It wasn't the forgive them. I wanted really to forgive this time. I said, God, I love you. And it wasn't just, I love him. I needed him. Mm. I really needed him. It was not over. They were still looking for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they came again and again. So I couldn't say like, okay, good. I got what I wanted. Bye.
Mm.
No, I'm like, I need you every day,
right.
Every moment. And I realized that even today, you can't disconnect from God.
Right.
Only the foolish one will do, because our breath, our every step depends on him. How many things can go wrong in a second?
Mm.
You know, you were in the plane, you're all relaxed, all of a sudden you start shaking, you know? Like, so we really need God every day.
Right.
So that time I realized I needed him, so I need really to get to him, to understand him, so I can try to do what he's saying we should do.
Yeah.
Anyway, when those words, they don't get it. What? How come they don't get it? I even argue, like, what do you mean they don't get it? Who can really get it? Who can kill God? Who can destroy a house if you, that's only house you have, and you destroy it over you? How stupid, bad can you be to destroy a home that covers you, that shelters you? How can you destroy the kitchen that this is, you're going to need food? You know, when we were children, we used to eat and get so full. And after we eat, I'm like, Mom, I will never need food again. You can take your food away because you just feel full, you know?
Right.
So when I saw that they don't get it, I realized that you're right. They don't get it. Even them, those people, how can you kill your God? What's wrong with you? How can you not realize this is your breath? Or he said, and then, okay, maybe they don't know. They don't realize it. But they know he resurrected the dead. They have heard about his miracles. So how can you do that? That's one. And then coming to me. And not only not him, not knowing what they're doing, they don't know what is awaiting them. You know, when you do something terrible like that, they don't know what hell is. And they know, but they don't really care. And they become numb to what is good. They're selfish. And that's what we all become. We become numb to, blind to what is the goodness of what our actions. We just see like now, selfish, you know, me, give me, give me. Then we lose the bigger price. And that's when I realized they don't get it. And then I felt he was giving back to me too. What about you? People are killing you. In a just near future, they don't even know they will not be able to deal with their own consciences.
Yeah.
Imagine when you wake up and realize, I took somebody's child.
Mm-hmm.
I caused that pain to that mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in those shoes. I mean, if I say something more kind about somebody, I don't sleep. Mm-hmm. And imagine somebody now who have killed somebody, begging them for mercy. All that was so clear to me, like, I don't want to be in their shoes. Because a day will come when they will realize what they have done. So that really when I was able to go to forgive. So again, coming back, how do you even define forgiveness? And what happened after that? I felt free. I was like, I'm competing with bad guys. I'm trying to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I don't like what they're doing. But all that came through prayer. So there's so much you cannot understand the love of God unless you start praying.
Yeah, and it sounds like that was the sequence, right? That you developed your relationship with God, and then you could let go of the anger.
Yes, you can let go. He can show you that it's so small compared to what God is can have. When I was in the garden there, he was like, don't worry, I will give you friends. And don't worry, because there is heaven. It's a paradise. Your parents are dying like martyrs. They're dying for what I created them to be. So do you really not want your parents to be in a good place? So, and besides, you trust me, I will be there for you. So all of that was so clear. But when I was not in a place of prayer, I have to revenge. I will be alone. Oh, I have nobody. So me too, I'm going to get back to them. And then you are in the love of God, you're like, it's okay. He will touch them. He will change them. Mm. And the one who protect me today, he's going to be there for me. So it was so funny, like the eyes was open to the graces and it was closed when I was angry. Yeah. I only know the reality of what they did and they have to pay for that.
Right.
Yeah. And one day, I remember I went to see the person who killed my family. And I met him in prison. And the head who was the head of the prison at that time, he told me he had lost his wife and children. He told me, he said, I was so angry, I used to beat the prisoners. And I would come back next day. When I beat them, I felt so good. I'm like, good, I feel good, I revenged. And we go home, in the morning, the pain will come again. He has for his children, he lost his children, loss of his wife, everything will come back. He will beat them again. He will go back home feeling good. Next day it was back again. So when he brought the man who killed my family, I have gone through this challenge and letting go the anger, putting them in the eyes of God, and also protecting myself. Because of course, like, yeah, I understand the pieces of what forgiveness means. I know how it feels like, the freedom you feel to love people, to pray for them, and to wish them to go through the conversion you went through. But also you realize that when you forgive, the lies that was there before, there was a lie in my heart. If I forgive them, then I give them a free pass. That means they can just do whatever they want to me. Mm-hmm. That means, oh, that's it? They get nothing? No, it's not up to you, you know? You forgive, you realize people who hurt you, who hate you, they still hate you maybe. They still want to harm you.
Right.
When Jesus forgave them on the cross, he didn't wait for them to stop doing it. He did it when they were still doing it. So that was really something like, you let go and now you start with God. He shows you how to hide yourself from them.
Right.
While you are still praying for them.
Right.
And the change will be much harsher when the change happens, when they're still doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see what they have done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you saw the gentleman.
I saw the gentleman, and I really wanted to see how I feel, actually.
Yeah.
So these were people used to tell me. They were like, and I still cry to this day. So it's not like I can ever hear from not missing my parents, not have, you know, missing my brothers. My
like grandma. That trauma replays.
Not trauma, really never. It's more like, for example, my kid graduated. Like just a knife in my heart, like,
yeah.
I wish my dad was here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I really, with the forgiveness, I think, with prayer, there was a healing I recognize today. Because I can get hurt today by something else, let's say betrayer, and I can still remember in a way that is not good. Like you just feel almost like you say, like a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But that, God shows me like it was small compared to eternity where they are happy. Yeah, so I miss them. I cry today, just like, oh, my brother, he maybe today will be a priest, you know, or have children. And no, my children, like I go through those moments, I'm like, okay, God, help me, you know, let me not go there.
Right.
Because of course, yeah, Christmas come, like, oh, I wonder what that was say,
yeah.
Not with my children. So there's always that, but never go through like that bad things, like that would traumatize me at all. It was really forgiven. And when again it is forgiven, you see people in the wrong they have done and you see how wrong it is. But you pray for the people and for that thing to let go, to leave the world, for injustice to go away. Not just for my people, but everywhere in the world.
Right.
You know, for people to have love, to see each other as brothers and sisters. It really was given. So when I outside of the genocide, people used to say, what makes you smile? You just lost everybody. I literally remember one girl holding me like in the middle of the street, like, you have to tell me your secret. You just lost everybody. Your homes are destroyed. And you find a mood to laugh with somebody.
Right.
People are telling you new things, you're laughing with them. What is wrong with you? I'm like, oh, believe me, I wait until I get home, until I'm alone. Then I can think about it. I don't have to cry to everybody. I have been crying for months, you know? But I can also move and say, oh, it's time to work. It's time to cook, you know? It's time to talk with people. And then later I would go back to my pain. And also like, oh, in the morning I have to wake up and go to work. So, but when that happened, somebody said, I think your forgiveness is a mechanism of surviving. It's not real. If you see them, you will come back to anger again. Oh my God. oh, I will go back to that place of anger, which I didn't like. And I remembered how bitter it was, and my whole body was aching. You know, when you're angry, it's really a punishment for yourself. Mm-hmm. They punish you, and then you punish yourself too.
Yeah.
So I went to the prison trying to see what I would see, I would feel. And I saw the man, he was like, he doesn't care. And I just saw him, oh my, in a misery, miserable place reading his heart. He was dirty, his hair upside down. A man was my father, like my father, I really with respect, like a dad to me. And I saw his foot swollen, his beard upside down, you know, just so sad. And he killed people, he had a good job, very respectable person. And I was there because of killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to him, I told him I forgive him. And I covered his face, he wouldn't look at me again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to say, well, you know, actually, I took things from your home, I kept them for you. And the head of the jail, I was like, how dare you lying?
Yeah.
You took them because you killed
yeah.
him. You know, kicked him out, and then he got mad at me. How dare you?
Yeah.
You they did forget what they did to us, how can you?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, because I have compassion on people who are angry. People who are going through that time of I was
mm-hmm.
in. When you think like, are you kidding me? Someone just did this to me and you ask me to forgive them. So it's more like just to lead them to God. I'm like, look, I don't know what to, this is what I had. So I'm sorry, I understand. And a year later, the man told me, he said, you know what? Let me talk to these people, because for me, they're animals. Let me see what they're feeling. Let me see who they are exactly.
This is the jailer.
The jailer.
Yeah.
The next day he told me he started to talk to them. And when he started to talk to them, instead of beating them, he said he realized some of them were really regretful. Some of them were still mad and angry, they would do anything. And others were so sorry, who led them to it, were angry. So he said he started to forgive them. And he said with that, he started to pray again, crying to God now, opening his wounds to God, how it hurts, his wife, his children. And from there, he was healed. And he met somebody, and he was dating when he came to look for me. He said, thank you for that day. If it wasn't for that day, I would have been dead, because I was planning to do bad things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for revenge of my family. Mm-hmm. And but after I let go the anger, I said, okay, so now that I'm not angry, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a family again. So now we have more children than he had before.
Oh, really?
Yes, any time we meet, he said, that day, the God who saved you saved my life too.
Wow.
Because at the only then I was able to think about forgiveness. So really, I would tell people, don't undermine the power of prayer, but also the power of witnessing. Just to have your faith, and any good word you tell somebody, forgiveness is good, it will free you. Try it, you know, ask God to help you to see those people as people who are really damaging themselves more than even damaging you. And then in the end, I mean, the way of this world is a cross. I mean, who can you really tell that they are really happy, perfectly happy? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our lady used to tell us, and I love that. She used to tell us, when you see somebody happy, cheer for them, because every single person carries a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what they went through yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or what they will go through tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what they have gone through before. So when you see them smile, cheer for them. When you see somebody crying, be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them too. Because you don't know, but every single person has a cross to bear.
Yeah.
You know?
What are some of your favorite, I don't have much time. We'll just have a few minutes, but.
That's okay. I mean, they will call us, they will knock the door.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite messages of Cabejo?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the prayer of the rosary every day.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I loved it that time. I didn't love it
yeah.
much. I was like, Mother, I mean, do you know how long a rosary takes? Now you're asking us to pray for rosary
yeah.
every
yeah.
day. And she even said, if you can't, pray at least one rosary. But she cried one time. She said, if you don't hear what I'm asking you, I don't know how to help you. So
mm-hmm.
this is not that you just give me so I can save even more souls, or like it's a gift you are giving
yeah.
me. She said, it's for your own good.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know how to help you. She said, prayer is like water you put on a flower to make it grow, to make it beautiful. Prayer is a protection you put around you from the evil ones. Prayer is holding to her hand, to God, so that his power and protection go through you. So she really made it very clear. So number one, we said, without fear for sure, is the power of prayer. There's no one apparition. She didn't say more than once, three times. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. So she would say in the Kinyarwanda, musenge, 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 pray. Okay, okay, she would go again. My children, I want you to have peace. But you can't really have peace unless you pray, pray, pray. Of course, the rosary, she loves it very much, but she loves every prayer. Sit with God. Sit with God and talk to him. He made you. He wants a relationship with you. So find time during the day to always spend time with him. Like, you know it is for him. Wow. So to me, it was more like the awareness of the power of prayer, how good it is, how powerful it is.
Right.
So it's like to give you the best secret to get to heaven, to unload, you know, open every treasure, really. You know, and it's not to have too much. Because in the world, I mean, I remember after the genocide, I used to say, if you gave me a house today, I will not be, I will not know how to deal with it, because I'll just survive with two pieces of clothes. What I need is a bed, you know. I don't need a house, you know. Just somebody who have a house, who is nice, who can host me. And after time, you grow up, you're like, wait, I'm going to have a family, I think I need a house. You know, so I always tell people, like, ask what you can afford to take care of, because if you still need what you more tomorrow, God is going to be there too. So you can ask him tomorrow. Like, at least ask him what you need today. Because sometimes it's all we need is for that day.
Right.
It's for your family today. The prayer was the by far above anything, to know the power of prayer. Like, I can wake up, I sleep with my rosary. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, okay, I can talk to a lady, to a Lord, you know, pray rosary. Or just share with him my, you know, my heart, you know. And instead of going to a show, I don't even like it, like, why not read the Bible, spiritual book? Like, any moment you connect to God, you have saved something in the world. I have a prayer group, because our ladies say, man, have prayer groups. They give each other encouragement, the community of prayer. So that was the most important and the most beautiful, because of the power of that message. So now, beyond that, many little, I would say, the cookies that our Lord gives you, like, you know, like the sweets that he gives you, was to reveal her love.
I'm sorry?
To reveal our lady revealing her love for us. And I was like, wow, so she's really a mother. But again, you can know that. And if you don't pray, you won't know. You won't feel the connection. She can love you. She loves everyone who go to hell. She can't save them. You know? And you, if you, she loves you and you don't know her, which you can only feel through prayer, then you, it's not useful to you either, you know? So, but this few, the few moments she showed her love and who she is, I was like, oh, wow, she's really active. So one little thing, for example, the one time, the people, they used to have like some, I would say, just news. It's not gossip, how can I say, rumors. They used to have rumors. Rumors would come, you know, like every place when there's a parishion, like, she said this, when she didn't say it. So one time, they say, our lady said that she's going to have a parishion. So people, the villages, they ran to the Kibeho, thousands of people, because we wanted to hear, people wanted to hear. So they went there. So they're outside, like, where is the apparition? It gets night, no apparition, it's dark now. So people start to knock the door of the kids' school, breaking them. We want to see the lady who have apparition. Our lady says she's coming. So the director of the school told the visionary, can you please pray, ask our lady? People think that she's coming. So she said, no, our lady never said she's coming today. So our lady appeared, surprisingly, to the girl. And she said, go tell the director of the school that I don't want to disappoint my kids who think that I'm coming. Even if I wasn't coming, I am going to come.
Okay.
So because the apparition would happen outside, they have to get the girl outside, you know, on the place where they have built. Our lady appeared. It makes him cry. Just because people had the expectation that was not even announced.
Did you ever see her in the apparition?
I never saw her. However, I did see actually a sign, I would say. So that was another time. So another time also, they say the rumors that our lady is going to show a miracle in the sky. So where I was in my school, I was like, let's go outside so we can see the miracle. People were like, oh no, they lie. Other people, no, they didn't lie, it's the truth. We don't know, but I'm like, I am not going to go to sleep before I see the miracle, because I don't want anyone to tell me. 6 o'clock, they say it was six, nothing was shown.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, nothing was shown. Eight, nothing. And this is what happened. They went to sleep like 200 kids, and only like 20 of us stayed. Not all Catholics. We stayed outside. We are watching. We are watching the sky. And I'm so tired. About 10 o'clock, this is what happened. God is my witness. This happened. All of a sudden, all the stars on the sky, they rushed and made a woman.
Really?
Really, 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 really. Like this.
Wow.
And it was a portrait up to the waist.
Yeah.
And it was sideways.
Ah.
It wasn't looking there. It was looking this way, sideways. And I can see all the stars, like made a woman like this. You can see the woman with the veil, everything, and her nose and everything.
Yeah.
And the funny part, we didn't say like, wow. Everybody was like, for 3 minutes, nobody moved the eyes. She stayed.
Wow.
And after 3 minutes, this is what happened. Not like it went off, the stars, like something sucked them back very slightly. So they went like, so the blue sky became again the stars. Because then one of them, many, many stars.
Wow.
And everybody died like that. So it was like, oh my gosh, you know, so they did. So we have had signs.
Yeah.
We have asked, you know, we have seen miracles happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your talking with us. So at least hope to in the future we can talk more about Our Lady's messages.
Yes. Like so. Now, the seven sorrows, let me say that at least. So one of the biggest message also in Kibeho is the seven sorrows rosary.
Mm-hmm.
So the seven sorrows rosary, again, what I love about this is selfishly, many promises Our Lady gave through the seven sorrows.
Wow.
She said, for those who will pray it, many conversions of heart will happen. She would hear the tears, especially of mothers. Because when you think of the sorrows of Our Lady, she said, I will also hear yours. And I will think about yours. So it's one of the most beautiful gifts. So there are those gifts, and then there are the signs. There's one time she showed herself on the sky, again, people saw her. The chalice, the Eucharist, a cross, you know, a mountains. One time I spoke to one Muslim man who used to take people there to Kibeho.
Yeah.
I said, did you see anything? You know, it was just taxi man. Did you ever see a sign in Kibeho? He said, oh yeah. And he goes like, something strange happened. I saw a man in the sky with a stick that had a flower.
Mm.
And he had a child in the hand. And this was funny, I don't know what it was that. And I thought like, what is going on? Am I losing my mind? And he said it was so beautiful. And then it went away. And then a lamb came. And was laying under a cross.
Mm.
He said, that was funny. And of course, I'm like, oh, tell me more funny. So, you know, so he's just a taxi man, you know, who was there.
Yeah.
So Our Lady, she's so loving. And the most beautiful thing is that she says, wherever she is, wherever she have appeared, the heaven have touched earth.
Mm.
So she used to tell us, my children, bring me people here. So I take groups in Kibeho every 3 times a year.
Mm.
If I have 50 people, I take them. And I have taken like 60. When I have 10 people, I take them. Mm. If like, that's only people who register. If it's 5 people, I take them. Because as long as I know I have done the will of God, Our Lady, I think I made her happy. That's what that really matters to me.
Amen.
Yes. Well, so in my website, if anyone ever want to come, it's immaculate.com.
Immaculate.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Father.